The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, where every episode we want you to write your own personal prescription for power. That's right. This is Power RX. And joining me today is one of my colleagues who I respect so much. It's Dr. Will Cole. Dr. Will Cole is a leading functional medicine practitioner. He specializes in investigating the underlying factors and customizing health programs for so many of the chronic conditions we see today: thyroid issues, autoimmune, hormonal dysfunctions, and more. He consults locally in the Pittsburgh area, as well as on webcam and phone consultations for people across the country and around the world. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cole.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Taz.
Dr. Cole, I'm so thrilled to have you. I respect you so much as a colleague, but I can't tell you how many questions I have had as, you know, just about the keto diet, what it means to be ketogenic. And your book, The Ketotarian, the Mostly Plant-Based Plan to Burn Fat, Boost Your Energy, Crush Your Cravings, and Calm Inflammation, couldn't come at a more appropriate time. What motivated you to write this book? What were you thinking? Give me a little bit of background.
Yeah, so most of my week are with patients and kind of seeing the powerful health application of a healthy ketogenic diet was impressive over the years, over the past 10 years, and kind of now people becoming more aware of the ketogenic diet and people are interested in learning about it. Before, it was just like the health geeks on the internet
right.
that wanted to like chat about it.
Right.
And now it's, okay, people actually want to learn about it. And kind of seeing and being in the keto world, and I'm on a keto podcast and kind of hearing a lot of the pitfalls that people in the ketogenic world, what they can kind of fall prey to unintentionally. I wanted to kind of do it the right way. And Ketotarian is sort of this best of both worlds. It's a plant-based ketogenic diet, and it kind of this amalgamation of the best of being plant-based and the best of eating keto and kind of fusing it into one eating plan and health journey.
I think that's amazing, because I think the first thing we all think about when someone says keto is like, wait, you want me to eat a lot of dairy and meat and a lot of fat? And haven't we learned now for the last 50 years that those things are not really healthy for us? So why are we going in what feels like an opposite direction? You know, maybe for the audience, Dr. Cole, just explain the basic premise of a keto diet. Why did it even become popular? Why did it hit the sort of the trend button suddenly? I have my opinion, but I'm curious from your end what you're seeing as to why this might have suddenly become a key buzzword.
Yeah, so I think that it probably a lot of different factors, but I think it's born out of people yearning for finding solutions to foods. And I think a lot of it was probably born out of the real food movement and kind of moving beyond that, because you can be really take any healthy diet, healthy real food diet, and make it keto. And it's sort of just eating, and the word ketogenic, what it implies is eating high healthy fat, moderate protein, lower carbohydrate. So you can really take a lot of different diets and make that keto. But most people on the keto diet, most people eating a ketogenic diet today, like you had said, Dr. Taz, they're eating like a big bowl of greasy, factory farmed cheese and any old meat and really anything they can get their hands on, as long as it's high fat, low carb.
Right.
And as long as they are hitting their macronutrients, they're eating whatever. So what I did in Ketotarian was kind of really focused on plant-rich foods. And a lot of people in the keto world are fearing plant foods and they're avoiding them because of their carb content. And I teach in the book why that is really unsubstantiated. You shouldn't fear that. And your gut microbiome needs its phytonutrients, and the fiber that plant foods provide us are abundant. So back to your point of what a ketogenic diet is, we're kind of shifting the body from being a sugar burner to a fat burner. The body has two different fuel options. And most people in the West are in this sugar burning mode, where they're going from meal to meal, they're needing to snack in between meals, they get hangry, they get irritable, they get shaky, they get these blood sugar roller coasters throughout the day,
right.
Where they're just kind of gripping through and using their meal to basically keep that kindling alive. And when I mention in Ketotarian, is when you're someone's eating different versions of sugar throughout the day, and that could be straight up sugar and junk food, but also different grains and fruits and other things, anything that will break down into sugar, that is akin to kindling for many people, where it's not sustainable, but it'll give you fuel for a short term, but you'll have to refuel often. But the other option from a metabolism burning standpoint is shifting your body to becoming a fat burner. And that's what ketosis is, or nutritional ketosis. And it's kind of training your metabolism and shifting your metabolism to being a fat burner. And that's burning your own fat on your own body. Or if someone doesn't have fat in their body, it's using dietary fat. So it's kind of this metabolic rehab, and it's more of this sustainable big log on a fire way of burning. And you need to eat less often because you're more satiated. And that's one of the reasons why a healthy ketogenic diet can be so sustainable. It's because they're not having that hangry monster anymore, because the body can go a long amount of time without refueling. So that's what a healthy ketogenic diet does for somebody.
I love that visual for everybody out there. I hope you guys caught that. It's the idea that most of us are in this mode of, you know, and for years that was the advice. I mean, I'm guilty of giving that advice too, that you eat every 3 hours, because again, as Dr. Cole is saying, it's like kindle wood, basically the very little baby twigs that we're putting at the bottom and just having to refuel that over and over again, rather than really creating a good fire where our metabolism can keep humming. And I'm comforted to know, I have a visual of many people who followed the Atkins diet in the late 90s. And we all know how that ended up, and sitting with friends who were like digging into a steak, and that was their way of sort of going into ketosis back then. So you find all of this, you're making sense of it. So what does being a ketotarian look like? How do we do this? How do we burn fat, but do it in a way that doesn't bring a lot of unhealthy food into our system? You know, what does that look like? What type of food does it look like? What are the intervals of eating? Maybe walk us through some of that.
Sure. So what I kind of lay out in Ketotarian is to do a plant-based ketogenic diet for at least 60 days to give your body time to shift from being a sugar burner to a fat burner, and your body will start burning ketones, and your body will naturally produce those. The liver will produce ketones, and the main ketone is beta-hydroxybutyrate, or BHB. And BHB is that fuel. It is the ketone that will pass through the blood-brain barrier. Your brain will use it for fuel. It'll pass through your cell walls, your mitochondria, where you use it, your cellular energy houses will burn that for fuel as well. And it's a strong anti-inflammatory, so it drives inflammation levels down. It has a lot of benefits for our metabolism, for our brain, and calming inflammation levels down. And your body will naturally produce that whenever you're in nutritional ketosis or in this ketogenic health state. And when you are with Ketotarian, I gave people three different paths to decide what they want to do. They could do a vegan ketogenic diet, they could do a vegetarian ketogenic diet, and they can do a pescatarian ketogenic diet, or what I call is a vegetarian, basically a plant-based with wild-caught fish and shellfish, these play on words, but basically...
A vegetarian. Oh my goodness, that's a new one. I'm a centenarian vegetarian. I love that. Great new word that we all need to know.
I just taught you guys all a new word, but vegetarian. But basically, they could pick their path. I mean, we know as clinicians, there are some patients that they don't do well on a lot of meat, even fish, or they don't want to eat a lot of fish, and you have to make it realistic to their personal preference, or maybe a religious reasons or ethical reasons. So some people, right. And that's really what I wanted to do. I mean, I was a vegan for 10 years, and I wanted to kind of, my heart is like there for the plant-based world and the vegan world and the vegetarian world, and kind of tell them, look, this is a way to do your diet a healthy way, where you're not depending on kindling throughout the day. And this is not to say that you have to be in ketosis forever and ever, amen. This is, okay, let's do it for 60 days, let's become a fat burner, and then after that, I teach in the book how to find your carb sweet spot. How some people can tolerate more carbs and they're fine, and then some people can tolerate more protein and they're fine, and some people can't. So it's about personalizing this ketotarian journey as a lifestyle, not as another fad diet. But they basically, they can pick their path. And if they're vegan, ketogenic, they're going to be eating, I mean, I would say any of the paths, they're going to be eating a lot of good plant healthy fats. So that's going to be nuts and seeds. That's going to be avocados, avocado oil. It's going to be olives and olive oil. And obviously with the vegetarian path, they can bring in organic pasture-raised eggs. They can bring in ghee, clarified butter. And with the pescatarian, the vegetarian option, they can bring in the wild-caught fish, the fatty fish. So that's the fats that they're focusing on and the protein. And from a plant food standpoint, it's all the abundant different plant foods out there, really. So it's very plant-centric. But then they're focusing on these healthy fats, too, and shifting their metabolism to being a fat burner.
More with Dr. Taz coming up. For a lot of us, a delicious home-cooked meal is the ultimate luxury. It sounds so simple, but with all the planning, shopping, and kitchen knowledge required, not to mention all the time, we're lucky if we can even pull it off once a week. Now you can get healthy, delicious meals on the table with Sunbasket. That's right, Sunbasket delivers meal prep kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle and for any dietary needs or preferences, including paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, and there's a family option too. And you pick from 18 weekly recipes. Just in the last few weeks, I prepared chorizo chili, Tuscan vegetable soup, two bean enchiladas, Saigon beef sliders, and just delivered right to my doorstep, very exciting, Yucatan turkey chili verde and roasted paprika chicken. Come on, you've wanted to try a meal kit for a long time. Do it. Sunbasket is so cool, and I can't stress this enough. Sunbasket features organic and clean ingredients, and each delicious, easy-to-prepare meal is ready in about 30 minutes, making healthy cooking easy and convenient. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Just go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth to learn more and to get $35 off your first order. You got to try this. Go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. sunbasket.com/wholehealth. And now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
Hi, it's Dr. Taz here. And if you've been listening to the show, you must know that I love tea. I walk around with it. I drink it all day long. So I couldn't be more excited to bring you Teamy Blends. Teamy Tea is an honest company that provides the best quality loose leaf tea to all of us, providing us the results we want. Here's what I've been doing. I've been using the Teamy Skinny and the Teamy Colon on their 30-day detox program and seeing some really amazing results. I'm seeing everything from my metabolism a little bit better, burning that pesky stored fat, really suppressing those afternoon and evening appetites and cravings that you can have at the end of a workday. My energy's through the roof and my bloating is gone. I feel amazing and I want this for you too. Check out Teamy Tea and check out this 30-day detox. You can order your 30-day detox today and save 15% on your entire order at teamyblends.com. That's TEAMIblends.com using the code WHOLEHEALTH at checkout. We know that, you know, we know that the bads are out, right? We know sugar's out and things like that. But what about, are there certain fruits and vegetables that somebody doing a keto diet, regardless of the path, any of the three paths that you've laid out, should not be doing? Or are there just some off-limit fruits and vegetables? And then, you know, are there off-limit grains? Like, where do those guys fit into the equation?
Yeah, that's a great point. So for the 60-day sort of ketogenic metabolism rehab, they are avoiding fruits for the most part. I allow avocados, obviously, a fruit. But when you're talking about citrus, we allow for grapefruit, lemons, and limes. And even a small amount of berries would be fine, just for the 60 days. And then after that, they can, again, they could cycle in ketosis. They could eat it seasonally. And that's really why I wanted to fuse this whole ketotarian process for somebody, is to have the ethos be self-love and grace and lightness and not be punishing your body and becoming obsessive about food. It's basically about finding which foods and which amount of foods make you feel great. And that's this grace-based way of eating that I really wanted to frame ketotarian with, is not become obsessive, not have it be this punishing your body by not eating fruits or not eating certain food groups. But it's like, okay, let's shift the metabolism to fat burner. Let's decrease inflammation levels. Let's get the brain nice, clean fuel so you can burn it very sustainably. Those are all good things. Those are things that should be born out of wanting to feel great and loving your body enough to want to fuel it with good food medicine. But then later on, if they want to kind of increase their carbs, like their fruits or their sweet potatoes, or their gluten-free grains like rice or quinoa, they can do that. And some people are going to find after those 60 days when they bring those foods back in, they don't feel as well. So it's only logical at that point that for those people, they're going to want to diminish those foods that don't make them feel well or remove them entirely. And so it's really this personal journey of finding out what your body loves, what your body hates. But it kind of starts with avoiding those carbs, even those real food carbohydrates, to allow your body to make that metabolic shift.
Interesting. And then are there some, you know, just like, if I know you don't want to do this, but for those people that like a lot of structure, would you tell them of protein, fat, carbs per meal, X number of hours between meals? Do they need to have a fasting state? Where does some of that stuff fit into the keto equation?
Sure. Yeah, I love getting super detailed and like specifics, and people like specifics too. So I gave people through the book, I gave them specifics on how many protein, fats, and carbohydrates they want to be having. And I also have, for every instruction I have a keep it simple option, because some people get overwhelmed by it and they just want to keep it simple. So I'm kind of meeting somebody where they're at and what detail they want to get into. But if you had to look down at the macronutrient breakdown, it's going to be about 75% fat, healthy fat, and about 15% protein, and then the rest of it carbohydrates, like 5 to 10% carbohydrates. Again, all from real food. And then when you look at that high healthy fat as being, you know, 75% fat, you may think, well, that's a crap load of fat, but it's really not, because we're talking about calorie percentage, not by weight. And you just need a little bit of fat to really get that much amount of calories from fat, because it's so nutrient dense and it's so kind of jam-packed, so it really equals to a couple tablespoons of olive oil or coconut oil or ghee on food, you know, with your plant to really make that macronutrient structure work.
Gotcha. And guys, it's 75% based off calories, not on quantity of food. So 75% of the calories you're eating per meal should be healthy fats, 5 to 10% carbohydrates, the difference protein. And those are the rough numbers to help you with that. And then the intervals, do you like a good 4 to 5 hour interval between meals? Do you think people need to have a 12 to 14 hour fast by the end of the day? Where do you fall with some of those recommendations that are out there right now?
Right. So the way, and this is going to be really born out of somebody being in ketosis, is they will only eat when they're hungry, and they will eat until satiety or eat until they're not hungry anymore. So that's sort of the benefits of being a fat burner, is you kind of are in tune with your body. Your body's hormones are working properly. And one of the cool ways that somebody can get in ketosis even more so is intermittent fasting. So it is, in addition to eating the ketotarian foods, intermittent fasting will also put somebody in nutritional ketosis. And that's, I kind of teach through the book, like the different ways to intermittent fast. And some of the ways to do that would be eating between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's quite easy. I think most people probably are doing that without even thinking. And then the other way to window your food would be 12 to 6, which would be only eating your meals between 12 to 6, again, until you're not hungry anymore and only eating when you are hungry. And then you can go into more advanced ways of intermittent fast. You could, you know, fast all day and have a dinner in the evening. And you could do every other day. You could pick 2 days of the week when you intermittent fast. So that's another way to put your body in ketosis, is intermittent fasting. But I think at the baseline, that's just keeping it simple, the 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. window, eating within that time frame is something someone can simply do. Still have their three meals a day, as long as they're eating when they are hungry and not just eating for the sake of it. That's kind of the baseline plan that you would do in a ketotarian way of eating.
And then I have so many questions. I'm going to try to bring them in. But just, you know, the pushback I always get on that, Dr. Cole, is that so many people get home late. You know, they're not home from a shift until 8 o'clock at night, or they're coming out of, like, you know, business meetings at 7:30. And so dinner's not till 8 or 9. What do those folks do? Do they just not eat? Do they, you know, distract themselves? What are their options when they're getting home that late?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. I think that they're going to have to find their own what works for them and where they feel great at. And again, to the point I mentioned earlier, is that when somebody is eating this way and they are putting the log in the fire and not the kindling, they aren't so worried about their next meal. It's surprising the freedom, the food freedom that is gained when somebody is shifting their metabolism to being a fat burner, is they aren't really even worrying about that 7:30 p.m. meeting, because they're like, I'm hungry. And then they'll eat, if they are hungry at 7:30, that's what being this grace-based way of eating as well, is that maybe for their schedule, maybe it's every day of the week, but maybe it's one day a week, maybe it's one every, it's not like an everyday thing. They'll eat later one day. And it's okay. The amount of great things they're doing for their body, eating late at night, a couple days a week, even eating every day of the week, the amount of good that somebody will be doing through eating this way will way outweigh maybe not ideal ways of eating, like eating late at night isn't ideal long term. But if that's someone's schedule, where they're at in real life, you have to make it practical and not feel alienated and say, well, because I get home late, I can't do this. No, it's not all or nothing. It's like, let's do all the good stuff you can do and then make it work with your schedule. And that's what making any diet, any way of eating, you have to make this a lifestyle and sustainable for you, and not make this sort of, you know, dogmatic, legalistic way of shaming your body and feeling like you're a failure if you eat after 6 p.m. at night. That's not the goal of wellness. And it really should be the opposite of anything of wellness, and being punishing your body through anything. It has to be born out of wanting to feel good.
I love that. And then just a couple of things I've heard and observed, and they could be urban legends or myths, or they could be facts. Do women not do as well on keto as men?
No, that's a myth. That's a myth. I think that there are definitely some people, and there are some really interesting studies that we mentioned in the book, of actually women needing actually more healthy fat from a hormonal standpoint, brain hormone communication line, like the brain adrenal axis or the brain thyroid axis, actually needs more fat than men when it comes to ratios are concerned. But even within the classification of men and women, we know there's so many variables within that. And I know that you know this better than anybody, Dr. Taz, the different types of women out there.
Absolutely.
Some will be better with lower carb or moderate carb or even higher carb, but still that 60-day window of shifting their body to being a fat burner. After that point, we talk about in the book how you can moderate your carb and maybe around working out, or maybe during, maybe just want to, you want to increase the amount of sweet potato fries or fruit smoothies, and that's completely fine. It's a matter of checking in with yourself and saying, how are my energy levels? Where does my brain function lie? Am I sharp like I was before? Am I sleeping well? How's my cycle? How's that going? So if you are feeling great on the ketogenic sort of level of things through those 60 days, then stick with what you're doing. But some people do well with tweaking things and personalizing things here and there. And it's about, again, being sustainable and making this a lifestyle. But as a general rule, now women do really well in ketosis. It's just a matter of sometimes based on activity level or personal preference, they can cycle in and out of ketosis as they wish.
And that actually leads me right to question number two is, can we exercise on a keto diet? And what level of exercise activity can we sustain when the carbohydrate load is so low?
Yeah, so it depends on the level of health issues that somebody may have been going through. Let's just say they're going through pretty severe inflammatory issues, and maybe they're having hormonal dysregulation that had been brewing for years, maybe decades even. And at that point, there's going to be some dysfunction going on there that may not be entirely resolved, where that person may, they'll be in ketosis, they'll become a fat burner, but they won't be as burning ketones as maybe the next person. So their body is sort of burning ketones as its primary fuel source. They're burning fat, but their body still requires more healthy carbs than the next person because of this metabolic sort of hybrid state their body is in for a number of different reasons. So then they would just increase their carbohydrates around working out. Many people don't need to do that, and they have more energy than ever in a ketogenic state. But some people, without a doubt, when I see so many patients over the years, you kind of have to personalize it. And if you hang your hat on one way of eating, you'll be proven wrong like 10 times throughout the day because everybody's different. So you have to use that as your baseline and then personalize from there. And yeah, there's no shame in healthy carbohydrates if it works for you. So sweet potatoes, yams, plantains, fruits, all of those things can work for some people. You just have to kind of, use it to your advantage. So if you need extra carbs around your workout, then do it. And then sometimes, and I talk about this in Ketotarian, you could use carbs and have them more in the evening and kind of use the benefits that they bring and they make you more safe. They like basically make you more tired in the evening when you're increasing your carbs. So it helps with actually improving sleep for some people when they increase their healthy carbs in the evening and they'll sleep better because the carbs will kind of bring that kind of resting effect throughout the night.
Fantastic information. So the book is The Ketotarian, the mostly plant-based plan to burn fat, boost your energy, crush your cravings, and calm inflammation. It's available anywhere the books are available, on Amazon and the like. Dr. Cole, if you're trying to get a hold of Dr. Cole, his website is drwillcole.com. Dr. Cole, any parting thoughts before we leave you today?
I just really thank you so much for letting me geek out about this and sharing this labor of love, writing this book. I'm just really thankful.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the book. I can't wait to, when it hits. And for everybody else out there, learn more about this. Grab his book. And remember, it's just another tool to help you find your power, because we want you all to write your own personal prescription for power. Thanks for joining us. See you guys next time.